Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Morning, everybody. Are you all alive and kicking? Happy Father's Day to each and every one of the incredible dads in our church. Today we have the great privilege of hearing from three of the most amazing dads in our church. And so I'm going to introduce them to you, and then I'm going to ask them to come on up, and would you give them a warm, warm welcome. We're going to hear from Vince and Terrence and Ali. Come on up, gents. Give them a warm, warm welcome. And before they have a seat, what we're all going to do is we're going to stand in front of you like this. Come stand next to me, gents, if you wouldn't mind. And would just hang on to each other's shoulders and lift up your left foot so they can everybody can see the shoes that are being worn. Okay. No. Would you agree I have underachieved in the shoes department today? Have a seat, everybody. So today we have the great privilege of hearing from three really incredible men and fathers. And, you know, it's one thing just to be a man. It's another thing to be a father. And a father that counts, a father that matters, a father that ministers to their families, a father that blesses their families. You know, we see in Scripture, in the Old Testament particularly, how dads, Jewish dads, would bless their children. That was one of the major outcomes for a father, was that the father was responsible for the blessing of their children. And I just want to say to each of you three gents, you guys really, really, you do live that and you epitomize that. You have blessed your kids. Your kids are blessed because of you. So thanks for doing this for us today. You're going to receive ministry from all three of these gents this morning, and I'm kind of going to just unpack a little bit of their lives, because their lives are each so different and have got so much to teach us. And I hope that as a lady today, if you're a lady in the house, that you'll receive just as much as the men. Certainly they're going to be speaking from a father's perspective, but for the ladies in the house, I believe that you'll receive some of what their heart is, because ministry is ministry, whether it comes from a man or a woman, and our hearts can connect with each other no matter the roles that we play. So I think wisdom is wisdom, and you'll receive a lot of wisdom today. So thanks, gents, for your time and for doing this for us. I'm going to maybe just start with Uncle and Pastor Vince, and just say to you, you've obviously... You look amazing, but it's clear that you're not 21. So, you've lived life. Your mic's on, don't stress. You've lived life and you have raised kids. And you've done so really as for the majority of that time, you've walked very closely with Jesus. You and Glenn have had a personal friendship. You've been in ministry for many, many years. And so, speaking specifically, Vince, as a Christ follower, How has that shaped your parenting journey? Like, just the importance of your following Jesus and how that's like spilled over into your parenting journey. And somebody's phone is on. There's a twinkling sound going on. If it's yours, don't say it's not me. It's not Shaggy. Wasn't me. No, it is you. It's your phone. Somebody's got their phone. Look in your handbag. Look in your pocket. And make it silent so that Jesus doesn't. Do you know that? Do you know that Satan distracts through cell phones? Yes, yeah, amen.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Right. Thank you, Pastor Byron, for the question that you raised.
Yeah.
First of all, I just want to say to everybody, that video clip that you just saw, it's not the husband's fault. Honestly, blame the wives. I mean, men, we are here this morning, obviously, to speak about our own experiences that we've been through in our lives. Mine in particular was a very, very difficult one. I had a father that wasn't a father. It made it very, very difficult for me to understand God's love, to understand God, that He is a father to me. And throughout the years as I was growing up, I never had a relationship with my father in a personal way, sure, which was very, very difficult, Pastor Byron. And through that, I doubted. through that, I doubted people's love. When somebody told me that they love me, I questioned it. And the first thing I thought, well, what do you want? And you know, it was only through God's grace and His mercy. We were in a church service one evening, and the pastor actually ministered on God's unconditional love. And with that, he also began to speak about forgiveness. And I never realized that I was in total bondage because of unforgiveness towards my own father. And I could never understand God's unconditional or His agape love for me. And through that, He absolutely came from the pulpit down to the ground and He said, I'm talking to you. There were various people that stood up, and Pastor Byron really, and the more He came towards me, the more I ducked under the seat. Because I knew He was talking to me. Sure. The Holy Spirit was really ministering to me because He knew the captivity that I was in and not experiencing God's true love as a father. So He came to me and He said to me, you need to forgive. And I realized that long-term unforgiveness have created a bitterness and a hatred in my life. And the minute I accepted that fact that I need to forgive and be set free, I realized that God's love is so unconditional. So men today, if you've gone through a very difficult time, if you've gone and grown up in a situation where you were basically fatherless, and I want to say to you this morning, just check your own heart, because God's grace is His love in action. We know that grace is like unforgiven, or grace is unmerited favor. Yeah. But really, God's grace and His mercy is His love in action.
Vince, how did you, when the pastor came to you and said that, so there might be men, women, all of us, I mean, I think in our country, particularly women, have been so traumatized, many of them by the dysfunction in our society. So there would be ladies listening to this needing to do the same thing. How did you go about forgiving your dad?
Well, obviously,
what happened in that moment?
Okay, in that moment, you know, it was an absolute supernatural encounter by me allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to me, to reveal to me the reason why I was in bondage and the reason why there was unforgiveness in my life and not trusting, was because I shut that up. I kept it within my heart. I never allowed anybody in or anybody close, and I would never let the hurt go out either. Right. So in that way, I realized that I need to confess not only Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but I had to confess Him as the Lord of my life. And I had to actually accept God's forgiveness. And I heard audibly, my son, you are forgiven.
Wow. And so am I hearing you right then, as you received forgiveness, you were then able to forgive?
That's correct, boss.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So if you're sitting here today and that's meaningful for you at the moment, I'm going to ask you just to bank that thought, and we're going to come back and we're going to pray around forgiveness a little bit later on. Okay. Thanks, Vince.
Okay.
Big T, Uncle Terrence, you and Natasha are also in ministry. Your ministry is into the community, largely in Reicher Park. You are somewhat of a minister, a pastor, a father figure, a helper, a strengthener of the community. Just, you were telling me earlier today, you had a rough night last night. So Terrence and Natasha are, chaplains. They're chaplains, and so very often first responders to families. There were some shootings in Reicher last night, and one of the guys that Terrence was with lost his life early hours of this morning. So you got to bed at like 3, and now you're doing this interview. So there'll be a Red Bull waiting for him between the first. Tell us about that, and what makes that so special for you? What makes it tick for you? Why do you do it? Because you're a father to a lot of the lighties there.
Yeah.
You're a father to them, you know?
Yes. Yeah, what's important, Pastor B, is how I got to this. you need to ask yourself the question, let me start with this. The Word of God says that God formed us and He shaped us in our mother's wombs for a purpose. That's the one translation that got me. So in other words, I was formed. We were formed for a purpose. So you need to find your purpose. And the best place to find your purpose is in the house of the Lord.
So good.
Because if you're in the wrong place, you won't know your purpose. You won't hear the voice of God. So about 6 years ago, I could hear God saying, let me put it back again. 6 years ago, Rega Park was in a mess. Killings every night, every day. We had shootings. Gang violence was at its peak. And I found myself every time in the center of all that chaos. And God says, I'm going to use you. You are now going to be my vessel. And you will go into places where others won't be able to go into. I thought God is calling me to become a pastor. And He said, no, you're not going to be conformed to a church or restricted to a building. The Rega Park is going to be your church.
Wonderful.
And in that, sure. Pastor, wow. We had, so I'm from the EMS Chaplaincy and Trauma Support. So I started off as a trauma supporter, no experience. So it takes me back again. If you are willing, God will use you.
Amen.
So you need to raise your hand. You need to acknowledge the fact that you were created for His purpose. Same with Moses. Moses was called. He was never ready. And he went so far where he said he can't speak. And God gave him somebody.
Right. Yeah.
And in this instance, God gave me people to teach, to coach me, to bring me to a place where I can minister to people, where I can counsel to people. So no education, no certificates or diplomas, only God. So when we go out like last night, I was explaining to Pastor B, I was spending time with my granddaughter, Natasha, and I the whole day. So it was my granddad, I'm a grandfather, day yesterday. Got home, got into the shower, ready to prepare for today. 9 o'clock, what was it, 8 o'clock? The phone rings, a stress call. Went out this morning at 2 o'clock. As I walk into the trauma unit, the guy's heart stops. And this was, we had 4 incidents last night. 4 people were killed, shot. Mm. 1 was not critical. So you have your P4. P4 is when you die. So I speak frankly, there's not, you've gone away.
Yeah,
so died. P4 is death. P3, you okay. P2, you okay. P1 is critical. So this guy was, in our minds, he was a P3. The others were all P1s. And the P3 passed on. So it's terrible because we need to, so our work is to escort your ambulances, because when Rega Park is in that state, the ambulances doesn't come out. So we play all of that. So you're absolutely right by saying, you know, you become a father figure to the fatherless.
Yeah.
Because last night we lost a dad. So those kids will then grow up without fathers. And, you know, it's important. This is the message to everybody. You need to find yourself at the right place. Your posture needs to be right. In the best place, I ask myself, where are you on a Sunday? Where are you on a Wednesday? Sunday should be church. First and second service. Wednesday should be life group. And it's a must. And I'll tell you why. Because this is where you hear the voice of God.
So
you become like Jesus.
Yeah.
You be with Jesus. And you do what Jesus do. And that's what we are doing.
So good, Terrence. Yeah,
that's
so
what
good.
We are doing.
So purpose. Purpose is that you are our... I'll never forget Pastor Steve saying to me when I first broached the subject of ministry with him, and I said to him, I feel this calling, this purpose.
Yes.
He said to me, you better make sure it's a calling. You better make sure there's purpose, because when times get tough, that'll be the only thing that holds you.
Yes.
You know, and working in Reich is like, it's not for sissies, eh? And so that's what holds you. But while you were talking, I feel like there's just something for the men in the house. Terrence is he's a dad, he's a husband, he's a grandfather. But I just want to encourage, and I feel like the Holy Spirit's just prompting me to just say to the men in the house, God's put more than just your family on your shoulders. He's put a mantle, Amen. He's put a ministry, he's got a purpose, whether it's at your workplace or in the sports teams that you're in or whatever it might be. I just want to say to the men, think wider, think broader, think about the purpose that God, and maybe you're going, I don't know, you know, I don't know what it is. Well, ask Him.
Yes.
And he'll put something on your mind. He'll put something on your heart. He'll put something on your shoulders. Because listen, men and women are, in our country, we together we have to build our nation. And I feel like in our nation, the women so often have to step up because of the fatherlessness and because of the absenteeism. But if Christ-following men can decide to build our country, and the way we build our country is by building our civic institutions, by building our chaplaincies, by building our hospitals, by building our schools, by playing roles in our schools, in our hospitals, in our workplaces, in our sports teams. Are you with me? So if God's given you more than just your family and your workplace, He's given you something to add and contribute to our nation. There's a purpose for us, eh?
100%. Yeah. And you need to do you need to take the first step.
Yeah.
And then step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And then it becomes about Him.
Come on.
Ultimately, it becomes about God, and He will sustain you.
Yeah, it's good.
And if you can't, He'll carry you. He'll do the work. You just need to say, Lord, I am here. I surrender. Let Your will be done.
Amen. And just be open to it, hey?
100%.
Thanks, Terrence. Ellie, you and Rhoda and Taryn have been a very, very special and precious part of our congregation here for many, many years. You've been a rock and a pillar in this church for many, many years. You're an incredible dad and you're an incredible husband. And the reason I specifically want to start there is I think many in our church would know that Rhoda's had a very, very difficult health journey. She's got chronic illness. And many times you're forced to carry both mom and dad roles in functionally. I'm not talking about heart, but there are times when Rhoda's just physically not able to play the role that she wants to, and you have to step in, depending on the season of her health. Just talk to us a little bit about that. How have you done that? Like, how have you been a dad to Taryn and a husband to Rhoda when things are the most difficult, you know? I want you to take us into the valley and tell us how that has been for you.
Thank you, Pastor Byron. And yeah, there's no easy way to answer that because we go through different seasons in our life. But I would like to believe that when the challenges came, the foundation was a good foundation already. Because when we plan, we always plan for good.
Yeah.
We always have the best intentions and visions to succeed in life. And then when we plan, we do not incorporate sickness or failure as part of our plan. I don't think any plan incorporates that. But about 7 years ago, that became a harsh reality, and it became a harsh reality very quickly, where we needed to make certain adjustments, and those adjustments led to myself having to fulfill multiple roles except just the role of being a husband and a father to Taryn. But it also meant that Taryn had to actually step up and grow up a little bit quicker and mature a little bit earlier than we had probably anticipated at that moment in time. But again, it brings us back to the foundation. The foundation, I thank God that was solid because we were already a house that was praying. We were already a house that knew that what our purpose as a family was, and that is to love people, to be with people, and to share what God has blessed us with.
Yeah.
So when at that moment in time, it seemed like all the wheels came off, we had a good support structure around us. So as much as I would like to believe that I did it on my own, I know that a lot of people came around us, supported us, and carried us through. And Thrive Church was one of those institutions because we come to church, as Taryn said, we participate in activities, we do life on a Wednesday, and those people, amazingly, knowing or unknowingly, they come around you and they support you, they encourage you, they uplift you. And you think that you can do certain things on your own, in your own capacity, only to find out that if you are headstrong in going ahead with what you believe is right, you can actually cause more destruction and devastation. But at certain times, you just need to be quiet be still, stop, pause, and think about it. Selah is very, it's a very important word for me in this season that we're in. And through that, God has just carried us.
Yeah.
God has just carried. There were times when we felt, because what Rhoda is experiencing, I lived through it, that life is going to end. You know, and it changes your perspective of what it is that you want to do and still need to do today.
Yeah.
When you commit it unto the Lord, tomorrow morning the situation changes. Today's worry becomes a joy and a testimony for tomorrow.
What I'm hearing is community, like you said, you know, I didn't do it myself. What would you say to people here, Ali, that maybe haven't fully connected or aren't fully connected? They haven't, you know, maybe they're not in a serving team or a life group. What would you say about community to them? And
community is very important. And it's not about where you serve or the title that you carry, but I believe it's about the posture of the heart.
Yeah.
You know, that you are actually connected and plugged in. And in that, we strengthen and we receive as well. So as you encourage, you yourself are being encouraged in those moments. So for every man in the house today, for every father, there are so many things that we have done in the journey or that comes with a title of fatherhood that we probably did not do correct. But by merely being in the presence of other people, we can see how things can be done differently.
Yeah.
And that becomes a coaching session
without
paying for the lesson.
Yeah.
And then what if you are intentional about improving not just your life but your family's life and getting to another level, you take those lessons and you apply them and you practice them even if it's privately.
Yeah.
Because then it will show at the end. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the great blessings we've got in our church, and I'll just share a story from our Edenvale congregation. There's a young couple that joined our church recently. They just moved from another part of Joburg, and they came to the church, and they said to me, they were just so open. They said, "We're like new in this area. Our marriage is struggling. We don't have any friends in this area. Like, we were recommended to come to Thrive Church. What do we do? Is there anybody that you can, like team us up with or something, you know?" And I love the openness of that and the vulnerability of that. And so there's this elderly couple in our Edenvale campus, or one of them, they've been pastors as well for many years. We're blessed with so many seniors in our church who've got so much life and ministry experience. And we teamed this couple up with this older couple. And just seeing like the life come back into their marriage as a result of that was so awesome to see. You know, it's like one of the most rewarding things as a pastor is just to see somebody actually decide to plug in, and then the people that you've connected them with have been such a blessing to them. And what I'm hearing from your journey, Ali, and I know because you've been such an integral part of this church for so many years, People are able to be there for you because you open your life up to them. And the seeds that you sowed in days when it was easier for you to sow, you're reaping what you sowed now, you know? It's lekker to see. Vince, you've been married to Glenn for how many years exactly? Let me not get it wrong.
I'll have to ask her.
Glenn, how many? Shout it out. 51, say.
Woo!
There we go. And can I just say, when it goes north of 50, it's you don't need to remember the specifics. It's just 50 plus.
Thanks, Pastor Byron. That's a great help.
Hey, you've had some health challenges this as a couple. You've had some health challenges, which have been quite significant and quite difficult. How you know, just talk us through how you've navigated. I mean, in 50 years, you're going to have your ups, you're going to have your downs.
Right.
Talk us through, you know, you can pick this health challenge season, which has been difficult, or you could pick another season. But how have you guys navigated marriage in those tough times?
Okay. Well, just to continue quickly with the unconditional love of God, The Bible tells us in 1 John 4, which we need to read as men and women, it says there that not that we loved God first, but He first loved us.
So good.
Come on, church.
Yeah.
You know, God first loved us. And because of that, I was able to come to forgiveness. So you must remember that God first loved you. To get back to our marriage that has been, how many years? 52 years, eh, Glenn?
51.
No, but
she's actually giving him the side eye right.
That's
now.
A job. But you know, the day we got married, on our honeymoon that night, we went to Bobsfontein. Now you may say Bobsfontein, but of all places, couldn't you have gone to Durban? My car would never have made it there. So I chose Bobsfontein as our place of honeymoon, and obviously going there, I had to make sure that we are able to come back. And we were lying in bed, you know, just chatting of what happened. And the next minute, Glenn tells me, no, she wants to go back to her mother. Hey, and I really thought at the time, did I do the right thing? Did I really marry the right woman? Well, 52 years later, we're still together. So that's part of our ministry is to minister to those couples that are in need.
Come on, that's so good.
And Pastor Byron mentioned earlier on, he says that an old couple. Well, I just want to say you, I'm not an old man, but I'm a young man from long ago.
There you go.
But to get back to our life's experiences and that, because of my forgiveness and because I was able to forgive, you can ask Glenn, there's no person on this earth that I do not forgive quickly. And part of our love relationship is that we grew closer together the longer we loved each other. Because, you know, love cannot be taught. Love, you need to earn it. Just like you earn one another's respect. And Glenn has always said, we grow to love one another. And we will continue to grow to love one another. And through that love, we were able to teach and guide our children, which will be later in the message.
Yeah.
But to get to Glenn's brain tumor, we got a great shock late last year regarding Glenn's health issues. I would walk behind her and I saw that she would drag her left foot. I said to her, Glynis, you know that you're dragging your left foot. She said, no, I'm not. I'm walking normal. And then she decided to go back to the doctor. Long story short, the doctor immediately got her to a neurologist. The neurologist did the MRI. And through the MRI, she was diagnosed that she's got a lesion, what we actually know as a brain tumor on the right-hand side of her brain. When I got the news, I was at a client. Well, typical man, you know, you're tough and strong. Well, I started crying. The whole area or the people that served me, they all came with tissues and, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's happened? And obviously, that was the news we had received. That was on the Monday. Glenn was booked in on the Wednesday. The following Monday, it was so serious that she had to have the operation immediately. And that in itself is a miracle. Why is it a miracle? We let our pastors know. We let the life groups know. And, you know, all of them continue to pray for us. And through the operation, that a specialist came out and the actual anesthetist said to us, that we want to tell you that when we opened up her scalp, the tumor fell out. Sure. Now, in the MRI, it showed clearly how the brain membranes had grown through the tumor and attached itself to the tumor.
Sure.
So we want to say thank you to Pastor Byron and Candace and the leadership and this church that prayed for us. Because if it wasn't for you, I doubt if Glenn would have been here today. Yeah,
that's awesome, man. God did something totally miraculous.
Yes.
And you know, one of the great tensions that we hold in life is sometimes God heals miraculously like that, and sometimes He doesn't. So, for example, Rhoda is battling a chronic disease. God hasn't healed him miraculously like that, but he did heal Glenn like that. So what do we make of that and what do we do with it? A couple of important things. Number one, we never, ever stop praying. On the Thrive app, there's a prayer request. I can tell you our pastoral teams are very busy. Those who are on the group know how busy it is. That we never stop praying. We always pray first, and we always pray for the best case scenario. Are you with me? So if you're battling with something, I just want to encourage you, invite the community in to pray for you. Amen? Secondly, it's not because of anything we do. And it's not because anybody's got enough faith or not enough faith that stuff happens or doesn't happen. Are you with me? God's sovereign. He's not a vending machine. And he's working in and amongst it. He was working in Glenn's life and he's working in Rhoda's life. It might be that he works differently in different seasons. Some healing may come miraculously. Some might come gradually. Some might never come at all. But we know that God's always at work in that. And we leave it to him as to what the miracle is. Sometimes the miracle is physical. Sometimes the miracle is spiritual. Sometimes the miracle is emotional. Sometimes the miracle is what he does through us while we're ill. Are you with me? Are you with me? And I just want to encourage sick people today who are battling with something major health-wise. Never stop praying. Invite your community in. Let us pray for you. Amen. Terrence, can I turn to sort of a fathering element now of your life? How have you strengthened the bonds with your kids? How have you been a connected dad to them? What would you say to dads out there who are juggling a lot and who really want to stay connected with their kids, you know?
Yeah. First, Pastor, pray for your children. Yeah. It's the duty of the father to pray for his kids.
So good.
I believe that's why we are under attack all the time, because the anointing flows from the father.
Yeah.
The word of God teaches us that we are the head, we are the priest of our homes.
Right.
So whether your child is living with you or not, pray, continually pray for your child. When you get the opportunity to be with your child, anoint your child. Speak life into your child. Speak prosperity into your child. Just speak good into your child.
So
because
good.
The life that we live in, that's what your child needs to hear. And because of the power you have within you as the father, you have the power to change the atmosphere in your child's life, whether he's with you or not. I have a scenario. I have two boys. Matthew is the eldest and Timothy is the youngest. Now, knowing life, out of the two, there'll always be one that's
got
the prodigal to. Son.
Right.
And let's call it what it is. The prodigal son will never listen. And he's always, most of the time, let me rather rephrase that, the eldest one. And then you have the young one that will always listen. So two things I've learned. When your child rebels or he finds himself in circumstances or situations he's not supposed to be in, continue to pray for him.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you pray. You don't give up on him. The prodigal son teaches us that the father waited, always looking at the horizon for his son.
Yeah.
So never give up on him. And then never forget to be the Jesus for your children. Be the example for your kids because they look up to us. Whether you're mother or father, they look up to you. And you need to become the Jesus for him. Why am I using Jesus? He's the perfect example. He knows how to forgive. He knows how to serve.
Exactly.
He knows everything. So for me, Jesus became my father. I had my father on earth, and my spiritual father was God. So that's the example I use, and I started to become like him so that when my kids look at me, they look at perfection. They don't see me. So it doesn't matter what I do, because you do fail. Just get up and start again. But your children will look at you. They will shadow you. They will become who Jesus wants them to be if Jesus is your author.
Yeah. Image. In other words, you're saying they'll see Jesus in you.
That's what
you mean by perfection.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Thanks, Terrence. Ellie, I'm talking to you as a dad now, and maybe as a husband as well. Like, how have you been emotionally present? Because I think as men, like a lot of us can relate to it. Sometimes we might be at home, we're there, but Elvis has left the building, like, mentally. You know, like, we're thinking about a million things. You know, we're worrying about situation at work or whatever the case is. And I'm sure that's happened to you, so I'm not pretending that, like, you've always got it right. But just with Rhoda facing challenges, it's been more important for you to be there emotionally. How have you managed that? You know, what would you say to some of the dads and husbands here who need a bit of help with that?
So some practical things that we, again, installed many years or early in our marriage is to be true to one another, to be honest and transparent. And with that, what we've done is, and I've got some of my neighbors that's in a congregation today. So, you know, when you walk into my house at any given time, you will always find music playing. For me, it would be my way to process the stresses, okay, and the worries of sorts. But then the music and the words in the music would allow me to be able to connect and show emotion and express my love, right, and my feelings towards my family.
Yeah.
And many households have challenges. Everybody has them. But what is different for each household is the normal. What's normal in my household is not normal in your household.
Yeah, sure.
But we can accept that it is normal.
Yeah.
So I put some practices in place many years ago, and whether it is whether it's worship music that's playing in the house or whether it is the Manhattans or the OJs, I take that as my love language. Okay. To connect to my family. We can very randomly just get off the table and just have a bit of a dancing session in the kitchen as well, whether it's with Taryn or whether it is with Rhoda. And those are just one of the pointers or things that I've instituted that will make it real. My love to them and their response to that as well, because we can so easily be distracted or be consumed, yeah, about worry and anxiety. And as men, we would, or I thought that I would handle it very well, or I did handle it well. At some stage, I remember one evening we were having supper and Taryn said to me, "Dad, you have changed."
"You've what?"
"I have changed."
"You've changed."
And I said to her, "No." First response was a defense response.
Yeah.
"No, what are you talking about? I am still myself." And she said to me, "You are a bit more abrupt and short off." And I said to her, "No." And I looked at Rhoda because we can confirm, sure, whether we are correct or not. And Rhoda looked at me and she did not say much, which told me that, yeah, she was actually validating what Taryn was saying, but not wanting to express it. So again, I still defended my stance that you must be overthinking the situation. But that night I went to bed and I prayed. And I said, "God, if this is true, they would not have raised it in that manner.
Sure.
So help me to be able to deal with this and process this."
Sure.
Where I think I was doing the right thing, I was actually coming short.
Sure.
So what we've done in that very short moment in time, we actually seeked professional help.
Okay.
So we, through prayer, through the church, but we also had counseling outside of church where they would actually analyze the situation. And like I always say, they would put our files in order so that would help you to understand where you're at.
Nice.
Process what you're dealing with, understand,
nice,
that you cannot manage everything, but how you can deal with small items day by day that will then make the difference and actually help you to reconnect,
yeah,
manage, and just continue to grow the love. Fortunately for me, I think between Rhoda and Taryn, they are easy to love,
yeah,
and they give love easily,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
And I think that makes the whole situation or the dynamic so much,
yeah,
easier. But again, it comes from a good foundation.
Yeah, sure. So music is kind of the thing that opens your emotions.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day, yeah. All the time. And what I've done is, we all have our genres of music. And some people listen to music for the beat. I listen to the music for the words in the music and the lyrics. And that makes it so much more meaningful, and that I express it to my family.
Yeah, that's
cool. In that way. And when I express it, I become vulnerable, at times silly. But I believe in those moments is where we create the priceless memories as well.
Yeah. It reminds me of Pastor Trevor Hudson's story about dancing to Ed Sheeran in the kitchen with his wife. You mentioned Manhattans and OGs. Are those cocktails or bands? What are those?
It can be a combination of both. Pastor.
So the music plus the cocktail will definitely open your emotion.
You know, we are human. Rhoda would always say to me now when we come to church, you cannot say that, or you cannot behave in that manner. And I always say to her, but I'm a realist.
Yeah.
I need to be the same at home as I am at church.
Yeah.
People need to understand my own authenticity.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to deviate from that. And everything is done in love and respect.
Yeah, that's awesome. Pastor Vince, I'm going to ask you just in 1 minute, make it really quick. What would you say to younger dads here about parenting and being a father? One piece of advice from an older man, a young man long ago or whatever, to young men now, what would you say?
Well, I think this counts for every father, whether you're young or whether you're old. You know, in the book of Ephesians, it talks clearly of where Jesus Christ is the head of the church and that he gave himself for her. First of all, you're a husband and you need to give yourself to your wife.
Yeah.
And then you become a father. And through the fatherhood, you need to realize this. As fathers, it is our responsibility to first of all, to provide for our children and for our families. Number two, we need to protect them. Number three, I would have liked a little bit more time on that, but unfortunately for time. And then number three is you need to guide them and teach them and keep them. And then the final one is you need to lead them. So you need to, number one, realize, fathers, you have a great accountability to God and to man and to your family and to your children, that you need to understand that, first of all, Jesus Christ gave himself for his church. You need to give yourself for your family.
Yeah, so good. Thank you, Vince. Isn't that awesome? I want to take a few of the things that you gents have picked up for us and just use them as threads for us to pray through this morning. And so just, you know, while we lick a K-ring here, just let's take a moment and pray, if you would, together. First thing I want to pray for is for all the dads in the house, husbands, fathers, men, would you join me? I think what Alistair said is so important. Like each one of us, we need something that will help us to be emotionally present in the house. For Ellie, it's music, but for some of us, it might just be a decision to leave our phone at the door when we come in. For some of us, it might be 5 minutes where we literally go and take a walk in the garden, wash our face, do whatever it is so that we can be present. For some of us, maybe it's the car ride home. But Father, in these moments, I pray that you'd give us as men wisdom. Show us right now, Holy Spirit, what it is that we need to do in order to just be present and to be able to transition out of our days to be present so that we can love our wives, our kids well. For some in our church today, it's a decision, men or women, to pray and to start praying again for that thing that you've stopped praying for. That thing that you feel disappointed didn't happen, or that thing that you're holding out for that didn't happen. Pastor Vince's story of Glenn's tumor and how that miraculously happened. I feel like there's something in the atmosphere today for the Holy Spirit just to say to you and remind you keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. The miracle may happen suddenly, it may happen slowly, or the miracle may happen in you, but it'll only happen as you pray. For some of us today, there's a decision to be part of community, to stop being on the fringes and to actually decide to give ourselves to community, to open ourselves up. Maybe that story of the young couple in Edenvale who said, hey, my marriage is in a mess. Can anybody help us? Maybe for you, it's not a full-blown crisis like that, but maybe it's you're lonely and, you know, night after night at home, you just stay at home alone and you've got, it feels like there's nobody around you. Can I just invite you? Why don't you take the first step and get stuck into a serving team, a life group, something that'll just help you with community? For some of us today, men and women, I felt right from the word go, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to open up for us today. Vince spoke about forgiveness. And today, just a decision to forgive your mom or your dad, to forgive a man in your life who hurt you, to forgive an ancestor. Like, by that, I don't mean anything around African spirituality. I mean somebody in your family lineage that hurt you. But what was said was so important, that only when we receive forgiveness can we offer forgiveness. And so right now, in these moments, if you're saying, God, I need to receive your forgiveness, I want a greater sense of your forgiveness. I want to accept your forgiveness. I want to believe in it. I want to say that I know I can receive it. Just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if that's you, because we're going to pray for you. If you're saying to me, like, you're in Vince's shoes, you know, and the pastor's not pointing directly at you, but I'm opening the door and I'm opening an invitation. If you want to receive God's forgiveness, it will be the doorway to the forgiveness that you can offer others. And I'm going to ask you in just a moment, slip your hand up and I'll see you and say thank you for that response. Thank you for that honesty. Thank you for being vulnerable and transparent. There's nobody looking around. Every head is bowed and eye closed. Nobody's worried about you. We're all dealing with our stuff right now. And so if that's you and you need, gosh, you just need this sense of God's forgiveness over your life, I want to say to you today that God waits, as we read in Luke's gospel, Luke 15, there's a prodigal son, but there's a father who waited. And if you just would say, God, I'm coming your way, you will right in this moment today know the forgiveness of God. So if that's you, would you slip up your hand? I'll do a quick count to three. And you say, that's me. I need to know God's forgiveness. Ready? One, two, three. Hands up across this place. Thank you. So many of us. Thank you. Some of us have given our lives to Jesus, but some of us have never actually felt God's forgiveness. Keep your hands raised for a moment just so I can see each one of us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in this moment, right now, I pray that your forgiveness would invade and flood the hearts of every person with a hand raised, just as it did for Vince all those years ago, in Jesus' name. And everybody in this place said, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.